Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'll be reading from verse 27 through verse 31. Verse 27, Matthew chapter 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now what I want to do tonight is focus on verse 29. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They crowned Jesus with a crown of thorns, and they bowed before him in an attempt to dishonor him and to take away the authority and the prominence of the Son of God. You know, a crown was a symbol of kingship or a symbol of royalty. King Jesus, they meant no honor for him. They only meant to dishonor him. The crown also symbols a rule of authority. Yet Jesus and this Lord was not seen in their eyes as someone, as a ruler. Again, it was mockery. Waving a crown means victory. We see this happen many times in concerts when someone has been named the king, or in a sporting event where the winners put on crowns and they wave them at the people around. It means victory. And we do know that all victory goes to Jesus. But yet in their eyes, Jesus was not victorious here. He had been defeated. In fact, if you had asked any one of the Jews or the Roman soldiers in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, "How are you going to crown the Christ?" they're going to say, "With a crown of thorns. He doesn't deserve anything else. He doesn't deserve a crown of gold, a crown of silver, or a crown of authority." So tonight, I want us to look about crowning Jesus. This is how they crowned Jesus. I want to ask ourselves, how do we crown Jesus in our lives? I want us to look at four ways that we can crown Christ in our lives. Not in an irreverent way, not in a mocking kind of way, but how can we crown Christ in a godly way, acknowledging him as our Lord and acknowledging him as our King? First of all, I want to suggest to you that we can crown the Christ by living godly lives. Now, we all look at ourselves as living godly lives, don't we? I mean, we are here, most of us, for the second time today. We have come for the purpose of honoring our King, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, which has given us everything that we have and has made us what we are. We are here to honor that. Jesus took a stand against ungodliness in his time, and they killed him for it. Now, you know, people today, in general, take a stand against godliness in daily living. We see it on TV all the time. We see it on the internet all the time. You can be in an interview, and you just let someone mention God. Some of the sports people, when they interview some of the sportsmen who have played a ball game and played it well, sometimes the first thing out of their mouth is, "I want to praise my God and thank my God for my ability and what I've been able to do." That is now being bleeped, by the way, on TV. They do not allow you to see that anymore. You be talking in an interview with someone, and they're asking you questions about your life and the things that you have accomplished, the things that you have done, and you give any kind of praise whatsoever to God, or you mention anything about God, and they bleep that. They don't want to hear that. Or they try to change the subject so fast that you don't really have an opportunity to really zone in on what he is trying to get the message across, that he believes in his God. They don't want anything righteously being said on the tube anymore. They don't want you to show any kind of kindness, any kind of love, any kind of righteousness in anything anymore. They try to take it away. And that's exactly what they did with Jesus. He took that righteous stand, and they killed him. The early Christians took a stand against ungodliness, and they suffered persecution after persecution, even death, as a result of this. But you know, it's a funny thing. The Apostle Paul said, with all of these things that we go through in life, because of who we are, it's worth it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul is telling us, yes, you can try to take it away from us. And you can hurt us. You can persecute us. You can put us to death because of it. But it's worth it. Because look what is waiting for us on the other side. And today, you and I, as children of God, are expected to take that same stand against ungodliness that the Apostle Paul took. We are expected to take that same stand that all of the apostles took in their lives. We're to take the same stand that Jesus Christ himself took against all ungodliness in life. Instead, we are to live as godly people. We are to be pure. We are to be people who notice purity in life and emulate purity in life. We are to have a life of being holy. And you know, I think the Bible calls this, we're different. Yes, we are to be different. You don't see holiness in this world today. You don't see purity in this world today. But we are to give that to the world today. Being righteous, being just with our fellow man. Even though you don't see that on the streets today. And we are to show love toward all people. We are Christians. We are Christ-like people. That is how we crown the Christ. By living a life that is God-centered, that is Christ-centered, living the godly life. We also crown the Christ by being a willing servant. We serve the greatest King. Jesus Christ. And you know, even though the Roman soldiers were trying to dishonor Jesus by bowing down in mockery, they were actually truthful in what they were doing. They were bowing down to the King. They were bowing down to the greatest of all time. Now they didn't accept that, they didn't believe that, but that's exactly what they were doing, because Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is the Lord of lords. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There is no one with more authority. There is no one with a greater name and honor to be given to. And we should be the King's willing servant. You know, the King's pride is in his servants. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus tells us a parable. The parable of the talents. The three men who were given, and of course the parables in the Bible, the talents was weights of wealth, weights of money. He gave all three of them what they were able to handle. Two of them, he was proud of their results, and he rewarded them for it. But yet he was displeased with the one who did not use what he had been given. So this tells me that the Lord does have pleasure in our abilities, and pleasure to see us use what we have to his glory. And he is also displeased when we do not. We show our love to our King by serving him and him alone. We crown the Christ by bringing all that we have into the kingdom. In other words, we put Christ first in our lives with everything that we are. You know, one of the greatest killers in the church today is covetousness. We live in a world where people will scream out, "Mine, mine, mine. Everything is mine. You can't have it. I will not share it. I will keep it for myself. It is my money. I have worked hard for it. It is my possessions. It is my goods. I earned it." No, you didn't. God gave it to you. We have nothing of our own. Everything that we have belongs to God for us to use. The first century church left us an example of bringing to the kingdom. I want to read to you verse from Acts chapter 2. Let's start in verse 43. This is at the beginning of the church, just shortly after the day of Pentecost. "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." In other words, I didn't wear a pair of Nike shoes and send you to Kmart. Everyone had what they needed. Everyone was equal. They did not have an upper class, a lower class in Christianity. And that's exactly what our world is looking to do, is to turn the people on this globe either into high class or low class. That's their goal. This is not Christianity. They had all things in common. Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. And all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." Now let me ask you something. Would you do that? Would you have something that you have that you could sell so that you could help someone who was in need? Would you do that? That was New Testament Christianity. That was Christianity at its best. They helped one another. They saw to it that everyone had what they needed and did not lack a single thing. You know, we all have an element of money, talent, and possessions. Either, if that wasn't the case, we couldn't be here tonight. We must learn to use all of that for the glory of the God that has given it to us. And then finally, we crown our Christ by professing him to be our King in our daily lives. We already know that Jesus has all authority. He told us that himself, Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 18. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. This is something that we do daily. Now, I said at the beginning of the lesson, we're very thankful that you have come back for the second time today. Now, my next question is this. When is the next time you're going to think about God? When is the next time you're going to think about coming together with the saints and your brothers and sisters in Christ? Will it be next Sunday when you physically see them again, when you come back to this building? Or will you give any thought whatsoever to this church between today and next week? You see, our responsibility is to be Christians, yes, on Sunday. It is our worship day. But when we get up from that pillow tomorrow morning, friends, we are still Christians. And we must act like Christians. We must live like Christians. We must serve like Christians on Monday. And sometimes Monday's the hardest day that we face, isn't it? And then when we wake up on Tuesday, it starts all over again. There is no day of the week that Christianity takes off and takes the day off. Never. It is something that we do with our daily rights, our lives. And yes, Jesus Christ has the right to make rules for us to live by. He is our King. He has all authority, as I've just read here. He has the ability and the right to tell us as His children how to live. He has the right to give us the commandments that stops us from doing those things which are wrong and to encourage us to do those things which are right. Jesus was preached to all mankind as a ruler, as a leader. He was the one that will take you from this world to heaven if we will let Him. But we're going to have to do it His way. The Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Therefore let the house of Israel know that assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He is our everything. We sing a song, "He is our everything." And oh, how true that is. He is our all, and we need to let Him into our lives every day of our lives to live for Him, and so that someday we can live with Him. So tonight I ask you, in closing this lesson, when it comes to crowning the Christ, do you crown Him? Do you actually crown Him with your life? Now, I'm not talking about the way the Roman soldiers did. They meant to dishonor Him. But by the way you live for Him, do you crown Him King with a godly life? Are you willing to serve as a honorable servant to Him under His rule? Are you bringing what you have into the kingdom so that it can flourish and be what God is wanting it to be? And do you do it every day? Because my friends, if you have to say no to any of these things, you need to challenge your Christianity, because there's something wrong with it. And because there's something wrong with your Christianity, there may be something wrong with your reward. And we need to know that. And we need to make whatever changes that we need to make. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, obey Him today. Make Jesus Christ your King. If you're walking this life as a Christian and you're not putting God first in your life, you haven't crowned Christ as your King, you need to go back and think about your life. Make whatever changes you need to make so that Christ is your King. Crown Jesus today in your life. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.